welcome to Find Your Voice with Kathy Tazik, Senior Vice President, Client Services for Sedgwick. This is your 21st century podcast looking at the claims industry. Kathy brings a fresh and interesting perspective to the topics that are of interest to you today. And now, here is Kathy.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining our inaugural edition of Find Your Voice. The goal of our show is to provide an open dialogue about some key issues facing our industry and our customers today. My name is Kathy Tazik. I am a 23-year veteran of Sedgwick and have a couple of significant passions. One of them is about our mission as a company to be a leader in productivity management solutions for customers and sort of how we get there. I'm also passionate about our obligations that come with that as an industry leader. My career has been focused always on understanding the changing needs of employers in this country and helping our company meet them in a responsible industry way. And I'm really excited this afternoon to be able to offer a format that allows us to encourage that progression in our space and also, really importantly, to do that challenging the status quo where it makes sense and highlighting those issues. One of the things we really hold closest at Sedgwick is how we grow a workplace culture that supports all of the objectives that I already mentioned, and also fosters the ability for people to grow. One of the key figures in our culture and a leader in the workers' compensation industry is joining as my first guest today, Daryl Brown. Daryl has been with Sedgwick since 2001 in a variety of positions, and most recently, in March of 2013, was appointed our Chief Performance Officer at the company, and has experience in both the technical business of workers' compensation. He's functioned as a labor code instructor back in the olden days. And in his current role as the Chief Performance Officer, he is really striving to make a lot of industry change by ensuring that quality is defined not just throughout our organization, but really changing the perspective of how we measure the quality of work in our industry. And I am really excited to welcome my very good friend who I've worked with since 2001, and colleague Daryl Brown. So welcome to the show, Daryl.
Thank you, Kathy. Happy to be on Find Your Voice with Kathy Tazik. Thank you.
And I wanted you to be our first guest because you really, to me, embody the best of our industry and how we continuously need to improve the environment for employers and injured workers. And I know you write a lot about that. And in your work on the board at the WCRI, you work toward that every day. And also you support that culture we have at Sedgwick that allows us to do all that. So I'd like to cover a few topics with you today, the changing climate and workers' compensation, and also a little bit about some of the diversity in our culture that we need to support those changing climates. So I know, Daryl, you talk to a lot of other industry leaders routinely, and so in what you see and hear and talking with them, what are their biggest concerns for workers' compensation this year?
So, you know, I think there's a lot of consistency in what I'm hearing from customers and other stakeholders in the industry. They, across the board, want to see more done with analytics. They want to see a lot more done with technology. They feel that their workplace or their business that they're in, that they're leveraging technology a lot more than the workers' compensation has to date. So they want to see a lot more push technology, a lot more self-service. Feedback that we get is they want the operational or excellence, the execution. They want to be sure that we're doing the things that we commit to doing as an industry and that we're doing them consistently. And so they always, those are pretty standard requests from the industry, from our clients. But I can tell you that some of the other conversations we're having that, you know, are not directly related to claims handling, and that is some of the things that we're seeing and hearing in current debates, issues such as what happens with same-sex marriage and workers' compensation, what happens with medical marijuana and workers' compensation, what happens when the Affordable Care Act is fully implemented, and what will be the impact on workers' compensation. So they want all the things that they expect, but they also want to have a partner that has the ability to look ahead and think ahead about the interplay of current issues and their potential impact on workers' compensation. And the list that I gave you is only a small list. I mean, there are a lot of other areas that, you know, we focus on in our foresight for 14, as well as other topics that they would like to discuss. But, you know, that's essentially, you know, having the ability to drill down on current debates, current issues, preferences, and trends that we're seeing in America, and, you know, determining and predicting what the interplay would be in workers' compensation, and really thinking through the probable issues and how we can come up with solutions to address those issues.
So, Daryl, you mentioned early on that they want us to do more with data analytics. Can you be a little more specific about how they want us to use data or the concept of big data to help them get better results on their programs?
So predictive analytics has been around for quite some time, and the feedback that we receive from our clients is, okay, fine, you can identify the claims that have characteristics or propensity to be expensive or to become litigated, et cetera. But what we really want to see from our, you know, third-party administrator, our claims administrator, the insurance company, or whoever, is what resource do we need, and when do we need the resource to really do something about, you know, this particular claim or a set of claims that have been identified vis-a-vis predictive analytics to determine, let's see what resources we can apply to really move the needle on these claims, to really affect a positive outcome on the claim.
Yeah, and I know, Daryl, in some of our work with customers, I think for us it's really been about what we're going to do differently once we identify those claims. Would you agree?
Absolutely it is, because it's one thing, as I said, to identify, but if you do nothing differently, the claim is going to go down the path that it is predicted to go down, unless there's some intervention. And so through resources, whether it's a different way a team lead is deployed on the claim, how we organize and galvanize resources, whether it's managed care resources, whether it's structured settlement resources, MSA resources, organize those resources to really change the direction that the claim is predicted to go down.
Yeah, I agree. And I was reading your blogs, and in one of your recent blogs, you commented on something that I know you like to talk about quite a bit, which is the impact of medical marijuana on the workers' compensation industries. What's your thoughts about the near-term future of this sort of growing issue, given the legalization of marijuana in several states?
Yeah, Kathy, it's one of the fun parts of the job that we have. You know, we're able to sort of think about things before we truly have to deal with them. And so far, 20 states and the District of Columbia have passed laws addressing medical marijuana, and two states, Colorado and the state of Washington, have passed laws allowing some usage of recreational marijuana. And California has two competing initiatives on the ballot this year for recreational marijuana. It's one of those areas that we see that there is rapid change, and it's happening, and it's happening very quickly. However, what's not changing is at the federal level, the FDA still has marijuana classified as a Schedule I drug, and therefore there isn't any ability to legally, from the federal level or from the federal perspective, that it's a legal drug. From their perspective, it's not a legal drug. So you have the disharmony between federal law and some of these state laws, but you see a softening of perhaps, you know, from the president and the attorney general in terms of how they pursue medical marijuana at the state level, and even with the recreational marijuana. But what we expect to see, especially as more and more states pass laws dealing with medical marijuana, is at some point, and this has happened in California, we're going to have a doctor that's going to say, and this has happened already, that this person who was injured at work has this condition, and this condition should be treated with medical marijuana. And so what we endeavor to do is to instruct our colleagues that, you know, medical marijuana is a Schedule I drug that really has no provision in the, in the medical treatment guidelines. And, you know, if we get such a request, you know, we gave very specific directions on how those requests should be considered, reviewed, and ultimately they would likely not be allowed for all the reasons that I mentioned. But it's a rapidly changing area that will have an impact on workers' compensation, undoubtedly.
Daryl, as a follow-up to some of the current issues that the industry is talking about, I know that medical costs are of critical importance, and you mentioned the new healthcare legislation. So can you talk a little bit about some of the emerging trends about either both medical costs and then what we should be thinking about in terms of the new healthcare legislation?
Sure. And so medical costs are obviously a big issue for everybody. It's something that is always debated. And so workers' compensation is about 3% of the total healthcare spend in the United States. And so it is a big issue. And what we have seen in the last decade is that indemnity costs have sort of stabilized, have not grown too much, but medical costs have increasingly grown. And so there is a real opportunity, for certain areas, especially with prescription drug abuse, the opioids. America is 4% of the world's population, yet we consume 80% of the global supply of opioids and 99% of the hydrocodone or Vicodin. So in other issues would be obviously with hospitalizations, that's a cost that, as we review our book, we see that, that continues to grow. So, what finding opportunities to make sure that injured employees are getting to the right doctors who have a historical record of very solid outcomes is something that we have seen with our provider benchmarking tool that has been very effective, really with the provider benchmarking tool and our networks, our custom networks that we have developed, something that really has bucked the trend with regard to the rising cost of medical and workers' compensation.
Okay, thank you, Daryl. One other area I wanted to touch on, too, was you wrote recently about the need for our industry to get involved and change and really help change the industry, which is really one of our other themes that we really hope to get from our audience. And what are some of your suggestions about how colleagues or companies can participate in this activism that we need to make change?
Sure. So I think there's been some really good examples of activism recently. You had employers in states like California, in states like Illinois and Oklahoma that have organized and have really done a great job of influencing policymakers to come up with legislation that would help the industry. And we also saw that at the federal level with the SMART Act through the Medicare Advocacy Recovery Coalition. And so while employers have a pretty strong voice because, insurance carriers don't always carry the same weight as employers do, I think that there's an opportunity for everyone to be involved. There's an opportunity for third-party administrators, insurance carriers, to support the process of activism to make sure that the systems, the workers' compensation system, is working as intended and that there isn't any imbalance where injured employees are not, that they are receiving appropriate level of benefits and that you don't have stakeholders that are exploiting the system and raising costs in the industry. So it could be a conversation that an examiner has with his or her supervisor. It can be a conversation that examiner has with an injured employee. That's activism. That's helping the employee through a very difficult process. It could be a TPA organizing data and showing a trend in a state like New York that will help employers focus on areas that are needed for policy changes. So activism is something that is a recent phenomenon, but one that we are finding that has become very, very successful for employers.
Okay. And, Daryl, when you were talking, it started me thinking down little bit of a different path, because with all of the issues that you raised and those that you and I talk about literally every day, we're going to need in our industry to support employers and all of these rapidly changing environmental concerns that we have, a lot of different, unique, and very smart people to help employers through that. And I know that something that we talk about all the time, you and I, is really sort of growing our workforce in a diverse way that represents the needs of our employers and the country. And I wondered if you could share some thoughts this morning about how we might be able to do that a little bit better, given what you see our needs for new people coming into the industry as a profession in 2014.
So I think there's been lots of discussion about diversity, and it's one of our topics in our Foresight for 14. And there's different ways to look at diversity. There's, you know, obviously racial diversity, there is gender diversity, and there is generational diversity. And what we know is that there's been more talk about the generation Y, or known as millennials, of late, you know, in terms of their preferences, how different they are from Generation X, and how different they are from the baby boomers. And so if we're really going to impact the ultimate outcome on claims, it's important that we have, that Sedgwick has a workforce that is understanding of the various generations. So Sedgwick has, in our workforce, we are 20% baby boomers, we're about 53% of the Generation X, and we're about 30% of Gen Ys. And so Gen Ys is growing and growing and growing, and their preferences are very different from Gen Xs. And so if we're really going to make a difference on claims where their preferences are so different, then we got to communicate with them differently. They do not like to talk Generation Ys, don't like to talk on the phone. They want to be able to get information themselves through self-service. They want information pushed to them vis-a-vis text messages. So it's really important to understand that diversity is, you know, understanding that, you know, there is a huge, issue that we need to understand in terms of generational diversity to really make sure that we're doing the very best job for our clients. There are lots of studies when we talk about gender and racial diversity, and really what that is making sure that you have diversity of thought at the table to help organizations solve big issues. So Sedgwick is 74% female and 26% male, okay? And so we're obviously a very diverse organization. The opportunity is probably in the executive and senior management area where there's probably an opportunity for more diversity there. And there's an initiative that we have launched which is a diversity and inclusion initiative that will be led by me, where we'll be looking for opportunities to improve our diversity.
That's really great news. And I know one other thing at the end of the show, I wanted to just talk a little bit then about our jobs as professions. You know, you and I both started down the technical path many years ago and ended up, converging and kind of moving in the same direction here. But what advice would you give young people possibly coming out of college who are considering the claims and insurance industry as a career?
It is a great profession. If you want to make a difference, helping people at a very delicate, sensitive time in their life, this is a profession that will allow you to do that. Also, there are tremendous opportunities for growth in the claims industry. And I would say to fellow colleagues and folks in the industry about, I'd like to say a word about responsibility. So when I look at, you know, my career at Sedgwick, you know, and I've been with Sedgwick since 2001, when I think about how I've been able to grow as an individual at Sedgwick, it has really been folks who have helped me. It's been me putting forth the effort, but it's really been, you know, leaders that I reported to or did not report to that really helped me by giving me a chance, allowing me to make a mistake, but allow me to regain or to sort of regather myself and pull it back together and come in for the home run. So It's the individual person taking responsibility and seeking out mentors, but it's also our responsibility as leaders, Kathy, to find those people and to help them and give them an opportunity, give them some visibility, give them some experience, give them some feedback.
I agree, and as you know, we both preach a lot about exposure and the benefits that that can give people. So I hope, hopefully we can help grow the next generation of leaders who can be doing this show for us in a decade or so. Daryl, that was all I had for today. I wanted to first of all, thank you very much for being our inaugural guest. As you know, you really do embody all the things at Sedgwick that make us great. And I'd like to thank you again for sharing some of the challenges we're seeing in the industry and talking to us a little bit about our diversity campaign. Thanks a lot for joining.
Thank you.